Hi everyone, it's Adam from Monkey Tennis here. Just saying a huge thank you to all of you that have supported my charity appeal so far. For those that haven't heard about it, this September I'm going to be swimming 15 kilometres between five islands in Cornwall. I'll be swimming the Isles of Scilly, that's Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. I'm doing it because I want to, but also to raise money for CALM, the campaign against living miserably. It's a well-known statistic that 125 people in the UK die by suicide every week, and CALM run a free and confidential helpline for people to speak through their problems and ultimately to help prevent suicides. I'm looking to raise enough money to train two new phone workers to man those lines, and I'll be doing it by swimming the Isles of Scilly in Cornwall. If you're looking to support me, it would be greatly appreciated. You can donate at justgiving.com. Just go there and search for Adam Swim Scilly. That's Adam Swim Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. All donations greatly appreciated. Thank you for helping me to support CALM. And now, on with Monkey Tennis.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Monkey tennis?
Damn!
Monkey tennis?
Little piss my foot on the spine!
Monkey tennis?
Go to London, I guarantee you'll either be mugged or not appreciated.
Monkey tennis?
Damn!
Monkey tennis?
On the whole, a very good effort, 7-10.
It's hotter than the sun!
Back of the net.
Monkey tennis?
Hello and welcome to Monkey Tennis, back once again with the Norwich Broadcaster. We're here podcasting Partridge to the People. I'm Adam Brooks and I'm joined as ever by Tom Dark, Nick Older, and Tom Stab.
Just some more glitter.
For those of you that don't already know, on Monkey Tennis we dissect and celebrate Alan Partridge in all his many forms across books, radio, film and beyond. Before we get into the main business of discussing Alan's origins on the hour and the day to day, we wanted to just throw out this surprise mini episode where we go through some recent correspondence, emails, phone messages. We don't have a phone message.
There have been no phone messages. No, I can't stress that enough.
It would be ringing off the hook if there was, though, surely.
0800 Partridge goes to a deadline. Trust me, I've tried. We wanted to go through a little bit of communication that we haven't had a chance to get around to yet. Starting with some feedback about Alpha Papa. Obviously, one of the most recent things we did was our live Alpha Papa two-part special at the Prince Charles Cinema at the end of 2016.
You had to think about the year then, didn't you? I could tell there was a slight pause
I'm
there.
I'm very confused 20... about what's happening.
What year is it?
So somebody's written to us saying, all right, fellas, just finished the second Alpha Papa podcast and loved it as much as I loved the first two series.
Thank you very much.
Which is a lot. Thank you. Long-time fan from the city of Allen. Born Bred. He spelled Bred, B-R-E-A-D, which, if anything, is probably evidence that he is from Norwich. Live and work in Norwich. And was
Do slag off the fans, Adam.
Sorry. Was even at the proper premiere of Alpha Papa in Anglia Square before the Leicester Square thing. Don't downplay the Leicester Square podcast. It was very important and three of us went to it. Got a couple of extra facts for you, he says. The newsreader used to report just who is Alan Partridge in the film is Stuart White, the presenter of Look East, and he broadcasts from the Forum, the building opposite the police station in the film. Also, the road at the beginning where Alan is singing to Cuddly Toy, that wonderful Rochford classic, is nowhere near Norwich, but the roundabout he turns off on the beginning is Beauthorpe in Norwich. He says, if you're in Norwich, mine's a pint. Thank you very much for that contribution. I won't be going to Norwich. Buy your own drinks.
Yeah, so basically we're providing him with loads of premium content, premium chat content, and now he wants us to go and buy him a pint.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, we are using his correspondence content to yeah, begin this podcast.
And also, what's happened is I've copied and pasted that and I've forgotten to put his name on, so sorry about that, mate.
But the ultimate insult.
That is at Tom Dark on Twitter. Please do get in touch.
Okay. I now throw to Tom Dark with an important question about Alan's son.
Yes, so we have been sent a question by Mike Fraser on Twitter. Mike says this: I'd like to know your thoughts on a spin-off where we follow Fernando. After all, we all slowly turn into our fathers. Also, who would you cast to play Fernando? Many thanks.
Good question.
So, it's a Fernando spin-off show. Let's start with who's playing him, and then our thoughts on how that show could develop.
I feel like Simon Bird again could be a good shout.
Now, that's interesting, because I was going to go with Tom Rosenthal, the other,
the
other one from Friday Night Dinner. I think he would make a good Fernando.
Yeah. You need someone who starts off cooler than Alan, but has the ability to gradually become more and more like him.
What about... Who's the other one from The Inbetweeners? Maybe Neil? Is his name Neil?
Oh, yeah.
He could do it. Blake Thingy.
Yep.
He could do it.
Blake Thingy.
Adam?
Oh, it's tough because you've got to think of someone who's distinct from just a young Partridge. I'm struggling to think outside the Inbetweeners box. It feels very lazy of me.
Just default to Inbetweeners.
Actually, perhaps... I can't remember his name, but he's the chap who was the lead in Submarine, Richard Ayoade's film.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
He'd be good.
Yeah, I can imagine him being a convincing Fernando.
I actually think it'd be quite good, but obviously... This wouldn't really work unless it's a kind of alternative universe storyline. But I think Stephen Mangan would actually be quite good. But obviously he's already been Dan in I'm Alan Partridge.
Yeah,
I just feel like he's got the right kind of physical characteristics for it.
As an adult Fernando.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how would it work as a series? I quite like the idea of a running gag throughout the series that you never see or meet Alan Partridge, but he's constantly trying to get in contact with Fernando.
Yeah. Is he plagued by his past, essentially, and he's trying to move away from it?
Yeah, exactly.
He's avoiding phone calls. Yeah. He's not opening mail, all that sort of stuff. It's a bit like Better Call Saul, where like you're waiting for Walter White to appear.
The spectre of Alan is always there, but never actually appears.
Yeah.
Looms large.
Yeah. So there's a massive character that's associated, but they're never actually featured.
Like he finds Toblerone wrappers outside his front door,
or he's listening to the radio and they're about to throw over to Alan, and he switches it off.
And do you think Fernando would just be infinitely cooler than Alan is as well? So he's probably got a very immediately successful life.
I think a slow burn transition where he starts much cooler but gradually become, you know.
So he does morph into Alan, basically.
Taking the Breaking Bad analogy, it's like a reverse. He starts as cool as he can be, and then he gradually turns
into basically.
Well, remember,
Alan.
He does spend his Saturday afternoons in bed with a woman, so he's
wasting his life.
Yeah. What about Denise? Do you think we'd see any of Denise?
No.
Okay. They don't talk.
Denise. I was going to say yes, but Adam said no.
Denise is barely acknowledged by Alan. So I don't think we even have enough information about her to gather.
That's a fair point.
That's a good point. Very good. I like that. Commission.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. You are commissioned.
There we go.
You can find the bell.
I had trouble finding the bell then.
Okay. Next up, we've got a question from Matt Reed. He says, just noticed something about I'm Alan Partridge Series 2. Episode 5 title sequences don't have any effects on it, whereas others do. So we've shared a link on the social pages for you to have a look at so you can see what we've seen. And essentially, what you've got is two videos. One shows the DVD menu intro sequence, and the second video is the intro sequence that you see on Netflix. And there's an interesting distinction between
the
two.
Yeah, I mean, actually, a couple of people have been in touch about that. So I think it's, episode 5. So... If you have the DVD version, that's the normal introduction. It has effects on it. It has titles on it. And it seems that Dave, the TV channel, and Netflix have an alternate version where there are no special effects or titles on the intro to that episode.
For a second, I thought you were going to call out someone from the credits. Dave has made a massive balls up on this. Missed all the effects.
I think just looking at that, I just think there's clearly been a production error. They've been given the wrong version of the master.
Shall we wildly speculate as to why? I wondered if it might be something to do with writing credits. Like, is there an issue with someone being credited that has been taken off?
It looks to me that it's simply the version that hasn't had any post-production on. So there's just been a fuck up at the mastering house.
They've delivered the wrong version.
Yeah, I think so. Because also you've got the bit where Alan's in the chair at the end when he says, "What was it? The women, men."
Big beards, and that's just the men. Women.
That's the one. Because there's even a blue screen around him there as well. So I don't think that's intended for broadcast.
Very Alan, actually.
Yeah. Thanks, James Hothersall and Matt Reed, for sending us that.
Yeah, next correspondent. A couple of people got in touch, actually. Graham Smith and, I'm sorry if I'm about to butcher your name, Radovo Drushka.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah, I'm going with it. We talked a little bit in Series 2 about the scribblings on Sonia's notebook.
It's cut-out lettering, isn't it, I think? So she's taken it from a magazine or something.
And what was said on there, what the words were. And a couple of people pointed out that it's actually the bit that we discussed specifically is actually Sonia's name in Cyrillic. So obviously she's cut out the letters to spell her own name in her own language and stuck them on. So
technically the cover of her notebook says Sonia Sonia.
Maybe that's her name. Do we ever find out what her surname is?
No,
we don't. So maybe we could her name was Sonia like Sonia.
But yeah, it's been decorated like she's a 13-year-old schoolgirl, isn't it? So that's kind of thing. Yep. Just put your name on it. So,
and an alien judge.
An alien judge and a picture of a Furby and various various assorted 90s paraphernalia.
Yeah, so thank you for the both of you who got in touch to correct us on that and point that out.
A few people got in touch with just one-liner general observations. James Hart is insistent that...
yeah, he has messaged us more than once about this.
He's used caps. In all caps. I think he's bolded something as well.
No, that was me. That was my bolding.
Basically claiming that Alan doesn't wear a polo neck, he wears a turtleneck.
Now, I've taken to Google about this, thankfully we're getting it right according to the internet. So, James, it turns out a turtleneck is the American term, a polo neck is the English term. So
like
American things, we are not bang wrong.
You
Thank
are Tex.
You very much. Yeah, you are Tex.
You are Tex.
We are Alan.
Thanks also to Dan Waite, got in touch to let us know that the actor who plays Lynn's boyfriend, Gordon, also plays the farmer in With Nail
and
I.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I like that. That is a good bit.
Are you the farmer?
We've got
I can't believe we missed
mistake.
That. I love that film. Yeah.
Yep. Alex Taylor was in touch to say, my granddad had one of the email phones you see in Alan Partridge. It was awful. Thanks for that, Alex.
Love that.
Chaz Nuki Burden took... serious exception with whichever one of us voted the Bono episode as the best episode of season 2.
Who was that?
It might have been me, actually.
I think
it
that was
me.
You. I think you made a massive error that as your favourite.
I'll bloody stand by it.
Bono?
Can we quote Chaz directly here? I love your pod and all who sail in her, but to the guy who voted the Bono episode as the best of season 2, get out.
Sorry, Adam, you've got to leave.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, Chaz is basically us. Yeah. We've written
Chaz.
Carl Turner got in touch to say that Foster's Menswear was as big as Topshop.
Yes. Oh, be real. Yeah, come on.
He does also say it was shit, though.
No one said it was good.
No. He also said he's eaten in the BBC canteen around 1992. He sat next to the man who played Pete Beale in EastEnders, and it did look exactly like the restaurant in which Alan met Tony Hares, except it was more a canteen, less like a restaurant. Decor was the same, though. Thanks for that attention to detail.
Very good.
That's
great. Chris Job on Facebook said, here's the biggest continuity error from Series 1. The Travel Tavern is in Linton. Obviously, Lynn is based near Norwich. Over an hour between the two places. It's over an hour to where they stole the traffic cone. I could go on.
But he doesn't. But he
hasn't. Feel free to go on, Chris.
Arguably, that's not a continuity error. Just they decided they wanted to travel that far to steal a traffic cone. Yeah. Who knows?
Exactly. And finally, Richard Dobson drops the bombshell that...
This is big.
When we asked about the price of a man-sized beefeater bear, which Sonia buys Alan in Series 2 of Iron Man and Partridge, he says, the price of a man-sized bear came up on the pod a week or two ago. You can get a Harrods bear at Gatwick for the bargain-tastic price of just £1,583. That's a huge discount from the £1,900 recommended retail price. Hurry, 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 while stocks linger.
I'm
just going to do some quick maths. 1,583 divided by Jed. Are you in on this? Yeah. Jed's in. Jed's okay, that's his one word used. Yeah. That is £316.60 each. So absolutely if we all club bargain. Together.
Yeah, I think I'm good for that. Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay, lovely. Brilliant. Done. Thanks, Richard.
Now over to Tom Dark for Michael Mystery.
As we've chosen to call it. So Ali Weir on Facebook got in touch just saying, who is the man that walks out of Michael's house when Alan has his cup of beans? Now, we don't know the answer to this either, but we have been sent a piece of correspondence from John Le Cain, and he has a theory.
This is probably my favourite bit of speculation that we've had so far.
It's quite in-depth, isn't it?
It's very well thought out. John Le Cain, we appreciate your rigour in trying to figure this out.
And I will now attempt to read out the email and probably fumble over the words. So, John says, I'm writing in response to your invitation to speculate regarding Michael's home life from the last episode of your excellent podcast. Not my words, John's words. I'm delighted to have a chance to chip in my personal bit of Partridge world building. When Michael says there's a spoon in his bathroom, but he's nae need for it, My immediate assumption was that it was there to cook up heroin. So the burly biker we see leaving is likely to be a junkie housemate. Or maybe Michael even runs a sort of shooting gallery where the desperate can come in and nod out in peace. We know that Michael's not fussy about his companions, vis-a-vis Alan, his girlfriend, etc., but that he does really enjoy company. I think this idea neatly explains his spoon and the human traffic through his house. But maybe that's way too dark even for Partridge. What do you think? So, what do we think? Thanks, John.
Some of the troubles you've seen Michael go through make me think it's not too dark for Partridge. I think there is a danger that he's overthought it. But
there is that.
But then none of us around this table are really in a position to criticise overthinking
Very
Partridge.
Very good point.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's possible. The only thing I would say is that the guy who leaves, the burly biker, looks a little bit too built to be a heroin addict.
Yeah. I mean, I would just assume the whole point being Michael's got some quite unsavory housemates and they're probably not really close at all, which is why there's no kind of conversation or interaction between them when he leaves the flat.
Yeah. Says a lot about John that he says that his immediate thoughts was that he was there to cook up heroin. That's his default. It's a spoon. It must be used for heroin.
I think probably it's more likely Michael says there's no need for him to use a spoon because he's developed some sort of eating system that just uses his hands and his face.
Well, sausage. A sausage.
Oh, the sausage. Yeah, of course.
How could you forget?
There you go. Can't cook heroin in a sausage. Not that I've tried.
But anyway, it's an interesting theory and we don't know the answer, so could be correct.
The mystery continues.
It really is a mystery.
Okay, next up we have an email from Tom Billington and he says, do you think Alan Partridge is partially based on Jimmy Savile? Jimmy Savile was a DJ, had a dedicated female PA for 20 plus years, was seemingly asexual at the time, wore short running shorts, safari type jackets and was a bit eccentric. Basing Partridge on Savile was probably more tasteful when it was originally made. What do we think?
Ooh, well, I mean, it does sound quite controversial.
I think we should tread carefully.
But yeah, I think it's feasible because I think there are elements of kind of very cheesy kind of Radio 1 personalities in Alan's character.
I mean, Jimmy was successful.
Which Alan
unlike
wasn't.
Alan. Unlike Alan. Unlike Alan at the time. Yeah,
Jimmy Savile doesn't have his own podcast, though.
Yeah, no. True.
Not anymore.
Jed will probably start one.
No. Yeah,
he's nodding.
I think it's plausible, but
Alan,
I think
there's a sliver of Savile in there, isn't there? But the dominant makeup of Alan's DNA is Edmonds. You know, it's Edmonds
and kind of Mike Reed and people like that. Yeah. Isn't
it's
it?
Eamon Holmes. It's Dave Lee Travis.
There's also quite a lot of Terry Wogan, but we'll be discussing that in the next episode.
Deep Wogan.
So we're saying yes, but we don't want to delve.
Yes,
much,
but though. Sort of no. I think it's this.
There's your conclusive
way,
answer,
Tom. Question.
Thank you very much. Next up is an email from Andy Kidd. Now he says, enjoying the podcast. Of course you are. I heard you musing on text calling Alan Colin. I can shed some light on this. Truckfest is, as we mentioned, a real thing. It's quite a big show, to be fair, he says. The owner is called Colin Ward. Tex says Colin was a heads up to Colin Ward for allowing the name to be used. I know this because I was friends with his son, Adam. We were in the sixth form at the time, and I remember him telling me. I don't know them anymore, but I'm sure they can be tracked down to confirm or deny this.
I won't be tracking them down to confirm or deny
it. Is he challenging us to track them down?
Yeah.
Yeah, and do you know what my response to that is? Bullshit. I don't believe that for a second.
On the notes, your exact feedback on this is chinny reckon.
Well, yeah. That just seems like quite a lot of effort for a production team to go to do, like, they wouldn't need permission to just mention the name of a festival that exists. That's just nonsense.
We don't have
that,
to. It's not saying they're asking permission, are they?
That smacks to me. Yeah, it is. Allowing the name to be used.
All right.
What I would say to you, Andy Kidd, is you say, I'm sure they can be tracked down to confirm or deny this. Track them down then.
Yeah. Why haven't you done that?
Get back in touch and let us know.
I just think to me that is like somebody at school saying, oh yeah, my dad knows so and so. It's bollocks.
But thanks for enjoying the podcast, Andy. We do appreciate it.
Do carry on listening.
So moving on, I've got a much shorter piece of correspondence here from Jamie Slough on Facebook. He says, do you think when Alan says he's on a six-figure income, he's actually just including the pence?
Nice, I like it.
That made me chuckle.
Yeah, we speculated a lot about Alan's income.
Jamie, we're saying yes and thanks.
Okay, a couple of things that we wanted to mention that we'll be sharing on our social pages. A couple of you have sent in some rather humorous pictures. First up is one from Ross is on fire. That's not very nice, isn't it?
An Alexis fan.
Yeah. So Ross, who's possibly on fire, has sent a picture.
Let's hope he's been put out.
A picture of it's a mug? It's a pint mug filled with beer.
Are you kidding?
What?
Are you serious?
That's a fucking tattoo on his leg, you absolute twat.
I thought it was a pint of beer.
A pint mug full of milk and human hair.
I genuinely thought that was a pint glass.
If anyone would like to donate Nick some eyes, please get in touch.
Okay, we will share the picture that we were sent, and I would like to stress, and when we post it, we should put
We're not putting this bit out, think, are we?
Yes, we are. It's in monochrome, so it's been given
monochrome.
To me.
You may know that as black and white printing.
I, for one, look forward to the results of a poll that just consists of this photo and the words tattoo or pint.
Okay, well, it's easy for you can see where I thought. Oh, you can see where I thought.
That's literally the can't.
There is clearly a sock there and human hair there. So this is amazing.
This
when you
man,
see this picture,
this man Ross, not only is he on fire, he's paid and gone under the pain of having an Alan Partridge tattoo, and then he sent it to us, and then the only credit you've given him is for finding a novelty pint glass.
My stomach hurts.
Dave Clifton is speechless.
I'm really sorry, Ross. It's a nice tattoo.
You know what? Shall I explain what it is? Because I don't think
please
you can
do.
See.
Please do take
so
over.
So Ross sent. So we were talking about people that have Alan themed tattoos on the last series. So Ross sent us a tattoo.
Were we talking about people that had commemorative pint glasses?
No, maybe we should do that another time.
Sure.
So Ross on Twitter sent us, he has the tattoo of the Alan Partridge blazer badge on the back of his calf, on his leg, and it's pretty massive, and it's in full colour, and it's magnificent, but you're also mental. Yeah. Well done, Ross.
And it looks nothing.
Nick, would you like to describe the other great picture we've been seeing, or do you have no idea?
I'm not comfortable in commenting on what it is, so maybe someone should else.
Looks like a giraffe
to
someone
me. Someone else should take over.
Yeah, and another picture sent in by Jay Frost. He has done a rather fantastic job of dressing up in the way that Alan dresses as a zombie. So he's
a type of zombie.
A type of zombie, sorry.
The shower curtain.
By their nature, they're inconsistent. The shower caps there. It looks like he's got some kind of screws. I'm assuming they're tungsten tip screws.
I mean, it looks very like a very faithful rendition.
It's very good, isn't it? It's
right down to the plug as the zombie flecks off
kettle. Kettle. Got flakes of skin as well on there if you look closely. He's done a good job. Well
great
done,
work, Jay. Good work.
So we'll pop those up on our Facebook and our Twitter, and you can see for yourself and see why we've had a good laugh about that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yep. So before we go, I thought it'd be nice to play a little Alan quiz with my co-hosts here. Are you up for that?
Oh, I love
always.
A quiz.
Yeah, okay.
always a quiz.
So this is a quiz I call Partridge Among the Pixels. Basically, I've looked at Google Trends
across the year of
I really don't know where this
looked
is going.
At Google Trends across the year of 2016 worldwide. Basically, Google Trends, for those of you that don't know, is where you can put in search terms and find out if a search term was more popular than other search terms. Okay. So what I've done is I've put in Alan Partridge as a search term, bearing in mind it's a worldwide audience and it's over the last 12 months. I am going to go through a list of other search terms that I compared it to, and I want you to tell me which was the more popular, Alan Partridge or the other search term.
Ah, nice. Okay. I like it.
Yeah. All of you need to confer and give me one solid answer, and then I will ping the bell if you're right and admonish you greatly if you're wrong.
So basically higher or lower.
But it's sort of higher or lower. Yeah. Except that they don't lead on from one another, okay, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So which of these was more popular? Worldwide search results, Google Trends, last 12 months, Alan Partridge or Noel Edmonds?
I feel like... Has Edmonds been in the news?
Yeah, because there was all that stuff about him claiming he invented some machine that cured cancer and loads of nonsense like that.
Allegedly. Was that last year?
Yeah.
All right, should we go with Edmonds then?
So is the time period the whole of last year?
It's the last 12 months.
Also, Deal or No Deal finished last year as well, didn't it? So he might have been in the news for that.
I'm veering towards Edmonds. We've probably got to move along.
Okay. There are 20 of these.
So. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Edmonds?
Okay. Edmonds.
Yeah. So you think Edmonds was more popular than Alan Partridge?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're bang wrong. Oh. Alan wins.
Wow.
Well done, Alan.
Continuing on the Noel theme, Noel Gallagher.
Oh, Gallagher's got to be higher.
Yeah. Gallagher, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Gallagher.
Gallagher is higher. Yes. Chocolate oranges. Alan is higher than chocolate oranges. Knowing me, knowing you.
Alan.
It is a popular ABBA song in its own right.
Alan.
I still think Alan.
Alan.
Correct. Yes. Alan is more popular.
That's 3 out of 4.
Alan Partridge or Steve Coogan?
Ooh.
Coogan? I don't know, actually.
Has he been in the news?
Probably.
Yeah. I'd be tempted to go Partridge.
I'm going to have to push you.
Partridge?
Partridge.
Okay.
Partridge?
Correct. Yes. Alan beat Steve. Alan Partridge or Second Series?
Second Series.
Yeah.
Like you got the Netflix.
Of course. Yes. Second Series is more popular.
Good logic.
Yep. Alan Partridge or Norwich?
Norwich.
Correct. Norwich is higher.
Alan losing the battle here.
Alan Partridge or... £9,500 with the pound sign.
£9,500? Partridge.
Partridge. Oh, Nick is unsure.
I feel like he was reaching for the bell, so I'm going to say Partridge. It's Partridge.
Good technique, I like that.
Alan Partridge or Bono?
Bono.
Well, you are right. But if you were looking at UK searches alone rather than worldwide, Alan Partridge is actually more searched for than Bono.
Wow.
Good to know. Good fact.
Alan Partridge or Bill Oddie?
Partridge.
Correct.
We are nailing this, guys.
On the comedy front, Alan Partridge or Mrs. Brown?
Brown.
Incorrect.
Oh, good.
Alan, yeah. I'm very pleased we got that wrong.
Good.
Alan Partridge or Chocolate Mousse?
People probably Googling... Mousse recipes.
Yeah, chocolate mousse.
Yeah, maybe chocolate mousse.
Yeah, mousse.
Yeah, mousse.
Correct. Alan Partridge or Static Caravan?
Could be Static Caravan.
I think Caravan.
That's quite
Go
on then, Caravan.
Caravan.
Correct. The Caravan beats Alan. Alan Partridge or Nomad?
People would type Partridge.
I think
book,
a lot of
they?
The Partridge searches are going to be Nomad related.
Yeah, but they're probably going to say new Partridge book or new Alan Partridge book or something.
Because they, yeah.
Well, look, we're going to have to clarify with the host here. Mm-hmm. Would this, if somebody searches Alan Partridge Nomad as they're in those three words in Google, what does that go?
I presume that would be a point for either side.
Ooh.
Okay.
I would Partridge. Go Nomad personally.
Ooh. Ooh,
split.
Nick gets the deciding vote.
Oh, I'm going to go Alan Partridge.
Incorrect. Nomad is more popular. Alan Partridge or Monkey Tennis?
Very good. Oh, this could be a big blow to the ego, couldn't
go
it?
Go for the ego boost and say Monkey Tennis.
It's got to be Monkey Tennis, yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah. It's got to be Monkey Tennis.
You're bang wrong. Obviously Adam. Not. Alan Partridge.
It's not Adam's fault, you know. Yeah. It's people
it's
of the world.
People of the world. Alan Partridge or Rob Brydon?
Ooh.
Alan Partridge.
Partridge.
Correct. Yeah. Alan Partridge or Chat Show?
Chat Show.
Incorrect. Oh, Alan Partridge is a more popular search term.
Okay. Well done, Alan.
And finally, in the quiz... Alan Partridge or Michael Parkinson?
Although he's been a bit inactive recently.
Partridge.
Hasn't Yeah, let's go. Partridge had the book.
Partridge. I'll go Partridge.
Yes. Correct.
End on a high.
Right,
so Tom has been tossing up the scores.
How many were there again?
20.
Okay, so
about 20.
We got 15.
Oh, respectable.
Well done. Respectable yeah. score. Thanks for taking part. That's the end.
Lovely stuff.
That brings us to the end of the correspondence thus far. But if you want to get in touch with an Alan query, question, comment, or you've taken a picture of a commemorative pint glass.
or a mug or a chalice, or a whatever works.
Yeah, or goblet. Yeah. It's thepartridgepod@gmail.com. That's the email you'll want. If you want to send us a message on Facebook, facebook.com/thepartridgepod, and Twitter, you guessed it, @thepartridgepod. Please do get in touch. We're going to be back with a proper full episode on Wednesday, which is going to be running down Alan's origin. Namely, all of his appearances in On the Hour and The Day Today. Following that, we're going to be tackling Knowing Me, Knowing You, one episode at a time.
Kimkiwap.
If that wasn't enough, we've also got some very exciting live news, but we're going to save it for Wednesday. So please do check out the episode we're going to be putting up in a couple of days' time. For now, thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Subscribe if you haven't already, and you'll never miss an episode from all of us at Monkey Tennis. Thanks again, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Uh-huh.
Gotta go.
Monkey Tennis. Monkey Tennis.
Pierce my foot on the spine.
Monkey Tennis.
Go to London. I guarantee you'll either be mugged or not appreciated.
Monkey Tennis.
Damn!
Monkey Tennis. On the whole, a very good effort. 7/10.
It's hotter than the sun.
Back of the net. Monkey Tennis.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.